Awkward is, the definition of awkward is Thursday morning, opening up your laptop and going, what am I supposed to preach on this Sunday? What's the title of the sermon? And then seeing that it's death. And it's like, uh-oh. That was incredibly awkward. We had just lost Ron. I write my sermon, the summary and all the titles and all that other stuff out 6 months in advance, sometimes 3 months if I'm super busy. But I try to get it out early. It helps Matt plan the music and stuff. And I found myself looking at it going, what in the world was I thinking? And it made it really awkward. And so I talked with Ron and Nancy's family, and I said, guys, you need to know if you come Sunday, this is the title. And the weird thing is, it doesn't really have anything to do with the passage. But what it does have to do with, and by the way, I thought about changing it. I had that panic moment of, oh no, I got to change it and get the word out and explain to everybody because this is really awkward. And then I had an imaginary conversation with Ron in my head, and he smiled. That's weird. He smiled. I was like, don't do that. Basically, what we're talking about this morning is the death of a relationship. And a lot of us in here have been through that. Either we have been through divorces, our parents have been through divorces, grandparents, something. And we don't tend to think of the death of a relationship when it comes to the birth of Jesus. The mistake that we make is we have our fantasy of what Jesus' birth was, because who doesn't love Little Drummer Boy, right? And we have the fantasy of what all that is, and we miss the reality, almost the dirtiness, the hurt, the pain that goes along with the biblical story of Jesus being born. And here's the wild thing. When we go through that death of a relationship, or we reach a point in our relationship where we think maybe it's over, can anything positive come from that? I kid you not. I told a kid one time, hey, I'm sorry about what's going on with your mom and dad, and it looks like they're getting a divorce. And she looked at me and she goes, I'm not, because two Christmases. So I don't know if that's a positive thing, but there has to be something. When everything goes sideways, especially in a relationship, what do we do at that moment when we're ready to toss in the towel? Now, I've shared this story before, that with Deanna and I have been married for over 30 years, but year 20, it was, and we had a serious conversation about it because I was ready to check out emotionally. Wasn't going anywhere, wasn't planning on, no divorce, but emotionally, I was just at the point where I wanted to check out, and we really worked hard on some good stuff, and it's been an amazing 10-plus years. And the first 20 weren't awful, it happens, right? And so, is there anything in that moment where Joseph finds out that his bride-to-be is pregnant, and there's only one thing he is certain of when his world has been turned upside down? Not his kid. There's no way, because he knows he wasn't there. He knows it's not his kid, but he knows that that Mary is pregnant with a baby that is not his. And so Joseph, the guy that never says a single word in Scripture, did you know that? The only way you're going to ever hear anything that Joseph ever said is if there's a movie where Joseph says something. He is literally the quiet guy of the Christmas story. Doesn't say a word. But man, the actions that he takes have generational impact even to this day. Joseph decides at that moment he wants a divorce. He decides at that moment. Now, we don't see that in claymation and with Heat Miser and all that. We don't see none of that, right? Very rarely do we see that. What do we do when we've reached that point where you know because of something that's nothing to do with you, it all goes south? Let's open up our Bibles and find out. Open up your Bibles to the book of Matthew. Matthew is the first book in what we call the New Testament. It's about two-thirds of the way through your Bible, if you got a paper Bible. If not, man, I love tapping that app. You can go right to where you need to be. Matthew chapter 1. We're going to begin in verse 18, and we're kind of grab a lot of stuff together because we're not rushing, but we are in a hurry this morning. The first thing that I want you to see when Joseph is trying to decide, or he has decided, you know what? It's time for divorce. I want you to see the grace that is in his decision. Verse 18, this is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. We're familiar with these words. But before they came together, the honeymoon night, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Now, verse 19. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet, I want you to listen to these next words. He was faithful to the law. He knew what God's law required. He's a righteous man, Scripture will call him. And he knows what God demands and expects in that moment. God's word, God's law. And yet, listen to this moment of grace. His heart is broken, and yet he still has grace. He did not want to expose her to public disgrace. He loved this woman. His heart was broken. He didn't understand what was going on. From his perspective, life was not fair, right? And yet, he literally, according to the laws of Israel at that time, could have dragged her by her hair into the center of town, gathered a bunch of church leaders with rocks, and literally beat her to death. Could have done that. Could have shamed her. Thrown shade. When we've been hurt, when we've been wronged, if you're like me, you want one thing. You want justice. The coolest car that I've ever owned right now is that sweet 1995 Mercury Grand Marquis. As Earl calls it, that's a preacher car, right? And it is absolutely awesome. A tree fell on it at my house. Who cares? Still runs great. Love that car, except for one thing that I desperately need. The horn no longer works. Hey, one of my spiritual gifts is making sure that people know when they pull out in front of me that I explain to them the error of their ways and give them the opportunity to repent. And I lay on the horn, the trumpets of God Almighty. I'm rah! Do you know what it's like to press two buttons and nothing seven and ten to whatever? And whenever Ian's with me, he and I will go, try to make a horn sound. It's all, I want justice when I have been wronged. And I can't, it's the worst. Santa, bring me a horn. It is just the worst. I want justice. I am faithful to the law. Right? And the law says I can get justice. That was Joseph. He knew what the law said. He wants to be faithful to the law. Justice. And yet, man, circle those words. And yet, grace. And yet, mercy. He offers grace. Did not want to disgrace her. Wonder what would happen if I were more like Jesus. I offer grace to those who don't deserve it, because I don't deserve it. And when I have been wronged, or here's the whole thing, he perceives that he's been wronged. I never do that. When we perceive that we've been wronged and we want justice, God bring fire down from heaven. What if we're more like Jesus and we offer grace when the disgrace is right there? We can do it. We can say it, or like idiots, we can put it on Facebook. What if we offer grace? Look at verse 20. What if we pay more attention to not only grace, but to God doing things behind the scenes that we're not aware of? But after he had considered this, he being Matthew, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, don't be stupid. Do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Weird, but you know what this tells me? God is doing stuff that we're not aware of. God is doing stuff right now in your life that you don't have a clue about. It's through someone else. It's going to impact you. You may think when it happens, ugh! But he is working through someone else right now that you don't even have a clue about. And the Holy Spirit is on the move. So verse 21, oh, we're so familiar with these words. She will give birth to a son. You are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Oh, that's awesome. Matthew, of course, has to talk about the prophets. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they are to call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When life goes sideways, when life in an instant is whoop, upside down, you know what is so hard to see? God at work. Because if you're like me, you're spending time going, God, I don't understand. Or, God, I'm angry. Why did you let this happen, right? If you're all powerful and you're all knowing and you knew this bad thing was going to happen, why did you let it happen? And sometimes we're angry at God. Again, this fantasy that we make out versus the reality of who God is. We often can't see that God is working behind the scenes. The Holy Spirit is involved, the angel says. And the angel makes it clear, don't you want the same thing? Seriously, first of all, we would freak out if an angel actually appeared to us. We would freak out and need a change of pants. There's no way around that. But don't you wish that God made it clear? Right? Don't we say that all the time? Well, if God would just show me, if God would give me a sign, well, if God would just tell me. And he already has. It is amazing to me how many times in my life I'm wondering how and why God is at work, and the last place that I look to figure it out is the Bible. So let's challenge each other. I don't understand why God. Let's challenge, say, well, let's look at the scriptures together. Oh, come on, there's so much help out there. Seriously, let Google be your friend. Open a Bible. And that's what Matthew says in verses 22 and 23. He talks about Old Testament scripture. That's why the prophet said this. His scripture is being fulfilled. Let's take a look at scripture when life is turned upside down so that we can see God's perspective on things. By the way, ever heard the phrase or ever shared the phrase, God will not give you any more than you can handle? That is so wrong, it's unreal. I'm not going to tell you the words that came into my head to say. But it's so wrong. If God never gives us anything to handle, you know, that we can't handle, why do we need him? Sometimes we're driven to our knees to remind ourselves of how desperately we need him. All right, here's the last one. Verse 24, we got to go. We cannot just sit and do nothing. Got to go. Verse 24, and then verse 25 I hate. Verse 24, when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. I guarantee you didn't understand it all. But this boy is one righteous guy. If God said it, I'm going to do it. If God says not to do it, I'm not going to do it. God said do it. go. And I think sometimes we end up in this trap, the spinning wheel of confusion and doubt and wonder and fear. What do I do? Instead of, let's just go. Let's go do what God has told us to do, to love Him and to love our neighbor as ourself. There are so many different ways that we can serve. Now, verse 25, this is where Matthew and I kind of separate. Because I got to tell, I need to shake his hand someday. Because, ladies, when it comes to the wedding day, what do you look forward to? Yeah, the ceremony. Fellas, what do you look forward to that night? Right? Yeah. Now look at it. Verse 25. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son. Are you serious? That's where Matthew and I separate. Nuh-uh. Are you kidding me? That's amazing. He's incredible. He seriously was so concerned about her. And now we know that they did, because Jesus had brothers and sisters. But he waited that long? Oh man, I gotta shake that dude's hand. He should have written a book about how to pull that off. That's amazing. That's incredible. You're the real MVP, Joseph. Now listen to this. And he gave him the name, what? Jesus. Emmanuel. God with us. When life goes sideways, when a relationship ends, when a friendship dies, when a connection is not the same anymore, when everything is turned upside down in an instant, God is with us because of the birth of Jesus. Please. Death means nothing to him, right? But man, for some of us, there's just something dead inside. Right? It just hurts. It's chaotic. We don't understand life. It's gone sideways. Let's take time for our invitation this morning. If you want to come down and just have people pray over you, love on you, support you, those of us who have been through it before can gather around those of you who are going through it now. Just whatever that chaos is, life going sideways, I want you to leave here knowing that God is with us. Let's stand together and sing our invitation song this morning.
Follow the star to a place unexpected. Would you believe, after all we projected, a child in a manger? Holy and small, the weakest of all, alike the earth's hero, wrapped in his mother's shawl, just a child. Is this who we waited for? How many kings stepped down from their thrones? How many lords have abandoned their homes? How many greats have become the least for me? How many gods have poured out their hearts to romance a world that is torn all apart? How many fathers gave up their sons for me? Hanging a kiss for the newborn Savior, all that we have, whether costly or meek, because we believe. Pour for his honor and frankincense, for his pleasure and myrrh, For the cross he'll suffer, and do you believe? Is this who we waited for? How many kings stepped down from their thrones? How many lords have abandoned their homes? How many greats have become the least for me? How many gods have poured out their hearts to romance a world that has torn all apart? How many fathers gave up their sons for me? Only one did that for me.
Mr. God, we cannot thank you enough for your grace. And I pray for Ron and Nancy's family. Life has gone sideways. And I pray that we can extend your grace and your love to them. This day is going to be a long one. And we are so thankful for a heaven that's unreal. But you understand when we can't figure out why. You watched your son die. You know what it's like. So I pray for them that your Holy Spirit truly would be the comforter today. And God, whatever's going on in our lives, whatever we're struggling with, whatever we're trying to deal with and come to grips with, may we seek you first and find your grace. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.